This episode is being recorded out of Shop Talk Podcast Studio in Oak Park, Michigan. For more information, visit shoptalkpodcaststudio.com.
This nigga got a 10-day contract with the Grizzlies back in 01. And every summer he waiting for an NBA team to call him. Like, nigga, you played
01?
01. He had a 10-day contract in 01 with the Grizzlies.
All right.
Every summer he'd be like, nigga, I'm going to such this and
your
such
friend's
camp.
Friend?
This a nigga I'm cool. This a nigga like I does see all
listen,
the time.
Does he listen to the podcast?
No.
Because this is staying in. Okay? This shit is staying in. No. Nigga, 2001, my nigga, you would have been retired by now. Nigga, it's 2021.
Every summer this nigga was like, dog, I'm trying out for all I'm just waiting. Nigga, the Pistons, like they said, they're going to give me a look this year.
Yeah, I look at your ass from the court side. Nick, go talk to one of our salespeople.
He had a 10-day contract with the Grizz and played like 2 seasons in Germany, and that was it. Nigga ain't played professional ball since like 04.
How tall is this man?
6'2", maybe.
You're not even tall, fam.
I mean, point guard height.
6'2 is small in the league.
I mean, it is.
It's Allen Iverson.
This is his claim to fame.
No, what I'm saying is, at this big age, it's not happening, my nigga.
You can't tell him that. He don't believe.
I mean, do you believe?
He don't believe.
I mean, life have his way of teaching us all, you know?
Nigga, you work at Chase Bank. You've been at Chase since, like, 06.
Trying to chase them dreams.
Like, it's too late. Yeah. It's too late. But niggas be Al Bundy.
Let's get this shit started. Live from Detroit. Live from Detroit. Live from Detroit. Pink suits with hats to match. Big cracker dolls from Cadillacs. You looking for the fattest sacks. This is where it's at. Windows tinted. Seats for lyric line. Keep the hands on the burner. Cause niggas know that it's money on the money. Yo, what up, though? It's your man, Jay Johnson, a.k.a. the Tinfoil Hat Titan, a.k.a. the Conspiracy Realist, a.k.a. the technology snob, Steve Jobs Jr., don't text me with your green bubbles, a.k.a. I only debate my equals, everybody else I teach, also known as Juice, because all the hoes say, J.U. Ice, Young Caesar, because you know you can't run without me, Mr. If you don't like me, fight me, I got kicked out of Noah's Ark because they couldn't find another animal just like me, a.k.a. the West Side T'Challa, the new leader of Wakanda. Don't debate me, debate your mama. I am the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. What up?
What up, Don? It's your man Dame, 3_313. Real name, no gimmicks. The West Side Landlord, the pride of PA. High Chief Dame, don't fuck around. The liquor store legend, the corner store conquistador, your mama's favorite Dame. And the David Ruffin of the Shop Talk Podcast, because you know who the fuck they came to see. Not you, Otis. It's no better than these 4 letters. Thank God for Dame. And if you're speaking on Dame, you better say it nice. And if you don't put the boss in front, then bitch, you're not saying it right. Let's fucking go.
Yo, welcome back. Shop Talk Podcast, episode 266. You
feel me? On you hoes.
Man, we back, man. Fresh season 6.
Yeah, season 6. That sounds wild to say.
Yeah. You know, I didn't start like the first 99 or the 100 episodes, I named them or numbered them differently. It was always the insert this episode, the insert this episode.
It's been a work in progress.
And then after the 100th episode, then I started numbering like episode 101, whatever. You know, it was it's hard to find the blank episode over 100 times.
I just feel like there's a recurring theme in every episode that we do.
I mean, that's
just
where we get our titles from anyway, yeah. But it was easier when I started numbering them. It was easier to point people back to a particular episode because I won't remember the name, but I remember the number.
I think we already got a name for this one. Yeah. Get them together. Get them together.
Shit, poke high. How was your week, dog?
Dog, week was good, man. I can't. I could complain, but you know who the fuck cares?
Yeah, who cares, man?
Yeah, man. But I'm gonna complain anyway. I had to go to the doctor this week for a fucking 4-hour test.
Damn.
On my off day.
Did you pass?
I hope so. I get the results on Monday. But nigga took up half my fucking off day. And like a dumbass, I was like, I'm just going to get it out the way early and scheduled an 8 o'clock fucking doctor's appointment. I should have just slept
at 12.
I should have slept in, man.
Then the rest of your day would have been messed up, though. It'd have been gone. Let's say you'd have slept in and you didn't wake up to 12, right? Now you wake up and now you're there at the doctor office all day. Now it's 4 o'clock. And you know what I'm saying? Now you got to do shit with the kids.
I don't like waking up early for nobody. Somebody woke me up. My aunt woke me up early today at 7:28 in the morning texting me.
All right, man. Here I go.
Go ahead.
Listen. Would you like to not wake up?
All right, Jason. I mean, I just want to gripe. I don't want to see. I don't want to play. Where's the sunshine in the day? I just want to gripe.
That's why I was like, yeah, all right, here I go. No, man, I get it. I mean, I got a new schedule. I wake up at about 5:30, 5:45 every morning now because of this dog. You know what I'm saying? So
how's it going with young Umar?
Still it's going pretty good. He's getting bigger.
They grow really quickly when they're puppy.
It was kind of hard for me to see because I see him every day.
Yeah.
And I'd be wondering, like, so at what point was I looking at you and you technically was growing while I was watching you or some shit? Like, but yo, he's a lot bigger than what he was.
In 6 months he'll be like damn near full grown.
Yeah, at 6 months they're like 90% to what they're gonna be.
They just bulk up from there.
We got the house, house trained, pretty down packed,
Okay. How's he with other people?
I just been bringing him around a couple other people just to get him socialized. He won't stop biting me, but he don't bite people.
Okay.
But like, so puppies bite because they be teething in real life. That's really what it is. So I try to keep him with a bunch of, chew toys and stuff like that. But like, while you petting, he'd be like, you'd be petting, he'd let him relax, then he'll lean back like.
He just want to take a taste.
He just want to start nibbling and playing and shit. So, man, so he what, 10 weeks now? And at 12 weeks, we can get him into, actual doggy training.
I know that's what you're waiting on.
Yeah, I've been doing what I can do based off YouTube videos and shit like that. But ain't nothing like professionals.
And, you keeping up with his shots? Got him on some good food?
I'm taking him to the vet tomorrow to get some more of his shots. He needed a different dose or whatever at 10 weeks. So tomorrow, take him, get his shots and shit. Because he got to have all his shots completed by 12 weeks. In order to put him in training, they have to have their shots up to date. So he an Easter baby. He was born April 4th.
Okay.
That's Aries. You feel me?
I don't know nothing about them signs.
Yeah, that shit is.
When people say that shit to me, I don't be knowing what the fuck you want me to say.
So check this out. One, I think it holds some validity to it, right? But not how everybody be like ODing and shit. Like, all right, my nigga, we got free will. I can do what the fuck I want to do. I'm not destined to act like this just specifically.
I don't date Scorpio niggas. Like, I don't date Gemini niggas.
Gemini is fucking crazy, by the way. So listen, if this is my theory, and I'm right about this because I'm always right, 90% of the time. 90% of the time, I'm right 100% of the time. So listen, let's just say that the sun, the moon, the stars, and all that shit, it matters. The position of that matters when you're born and shit, right?
Okay.
And that, decides what kind of personality you get, whatever. All right, cool. I'll give you that. But when does that start? Does that start the moment I pop my head out the cooch? Or does it matter at the moment of inception or conception? Because I think it would matter, when that life is sparked. Because, before I come out, I got a full head of hair. I'm a whole baby inside.
You're developed for the most part.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, I'm just in there. And the second my head hit the air, that's when your personality come. No, if the sun, moon, stars, and all that shit really matter, it gotta matter at the moment that you conceive. Like when that spark of life goes, choo, right? That gotta be it. Or whenever the egg is fertilized. Maybe not while you in Pound Town. Yeah, but at the moment that the egg is fertilized at that particular moment. So if that's the case, I think we got all the signs. We on the wrong signs. Because not every pregnancy is exactly the same amount of time.
You're right, but I...
You know what I'm saying? So, at the moment of conception, let's say we in the month of April.
But people don't count when you're conceived, it's like in your birth. Nothing that comes along with your birth, people don't count when you're conceived unless they're trying to like count weeks or some shit.
Well, some people know though, because oh yeah, that shit happened our wedding night, or that shit happened.
You got the pattern app, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean,
that
like,
shit is wildly specific.
It is. Because they ask you like your time of birth, yeah. Like they calculate everything.
Now I fuck with some folks who into that real heavy, and like whatever time you birth and every. So let's just say I'm the creator. I'm not, but I'm the creator. It's only so many personality types that you can have. I gotta have a system to dole the motherfuckers out, right?
Right.
So what if it is months, days, and then days, hours, seconds? Let's say that, you know, it could be, but I just think that we measuring it wrong. It's not when you come out. It's at the moment that you was conceived. Cause
that's a good theory. It's a good theory.
And if that's the case, I think, Nick, some people who are on the edge, y'all might be claiming the wrong sign. Cause at the time you conceive, what moon were we was in? I don't know what niggas be talking about. Mercury got on retro J's. I don't know what they be talking about.
Mercury got on retro J's.
Like, I don't know when we in retro J's. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what that shit mean. I do follow the guy on a timeline. He in that shit like heavy. He got like charts and graphs and wizardry and shit. It's too much.
I don't care.
It's too much.
I just don't care.
Yeah, man.
I just don't give a fuck.
In any event, everything going cool with Lil Umar, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, man.
Hey, that's what's up. Now you're getting the dog together. Now it's just two more steps.
Now what's up? Where your kid at? Where your wife at?
I'm looking. I'm searching.
Every
I'm
week
searching.
You come out here and try to marry me off, like yo, nigga, with a kid like that, man.
I'm currently searching. If you. Nah, I don't even want to throw no wild shit about there. Like, you know, if you listen, man, nah, I'm searching. Like, I want a wife.
Somebody told me I should do a dating show.
I've had people tell us that too.
Like for the love of Ray J, or for the love of I hate JJ, by the way.
I know,
but just for the sake of continuity with for the love of JJ,
we were supposed to do a speed dating event. I think that would be like entertaining for the show.
It'd be entertaining for the show, but I'm cool with speed dating because I can talk to people for short amounts of time. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I would just like, I think, like, if we did speed dating, I would just like, you know, we get 10 ladies in here and we go 5 and 5 apiece and see what we come up with.
I watch a show like that for some cats out in the UK, and they go, it's like they cool, they'll speed date, but they'll all date the same person,
chick, yeah.
And then they'll go back and their girl pick, and whoever went got how many points they win, and they talk like that shit is mad funny, dog. But like, I don't think speed dating helps me though, because at the end of the day, this is not for y'all entertainment. My fucking life ain't no joke to y'all. I'm trying to, you know what I'm saying?
But what if you make a love connection? What if?
I mean, I guess, you know,
it could happen.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to help me out, though. You know what I'm saying? I need more than 10 minutes or 4 minutes. So, you know what I'm saying?
The 4 minutes is just the initial conversation. But think, like, if you approach a young lady at the bar, it's not really, like, a long, drawn-out thing. You got to give her, like, an elevator pitch, and you either sell it or you don't.
True.
So, I mean, this is just an extended elevator pitch.
I'm saying, so if I get 10 women or 5 women, they all fairly.
You do five. I do five.
So there's 5 women. They all fairly attractive, and we hold a nice conversation for the 3 to 4 minutes. I can have a conversation with anybody and make it seem interesting, right?
Okay.
So then what? I still got 5 attractive women that like it'll.
Okay.
Help
so
me.
So which one you want to talk to again?
All of them. I don't know
it's
them.
It's not going to be all of them.
What I'm saying is I don't know these people yet. So it's all of them.
Somebody going to rub you the wrong way. You're not going to get a good vibe from one. Like it's not going to be all of them. If out of 5, you might be lucky if you like 2. Maybe.
I mean, I'm kind of picky. You know?
They have to be all your style, though.
Everybody like, I got
could,
a style.
Could I pick out your 5?
No, you cannot.
I know what you like. I know what you like. I know what you like.
I don't think you do.
This is an inside joke like a motherfucker.
That's funny.
But I got a good idea of the type of woman I think would be a good fit for my bro.
Hey, listen.
You don't trust me?
No. No.
Jason. I thought we better than that, man.
I mean, I'm compatible.
What if I found you a life partner, my nigga?
And I would be appreciative.
You will owe me for the rest of your life.
I'll have you make a toast at the wedding.
I'm gonna make a toast regardless. I do have one request though. When you do get married, I would like to sing one song.
I am not having you sing.
Just one. I just like to sing one song to the bride and to the groom.
Oh shit! I forgot, man. What the fuck? I thought we. You know what? God damn it! This is supposed to be like a Royal Rumble episode. Maybe I just said respond back.
No, I just said we should have one. I didn't think we scheduled it.
I tried to do it for this Friday. Oh. Bird said he was free, but anybody else say nothing.
So June and Cheyenne tapped the fuck in.
Yeah, I had some, because the question I wanted to ask them, we going to do it today.
Okay. We'll come up with something else for our episode. Anywho. It'll be good.
Oh, man, so listen, man, it's been a pretty interesting week, and shout out to everybody who tags me in shots out and dad jokes and shit. You know what I'm saying?
This one was pretty good when you get off the elevator.
Oh, and, that's what's up.
And it was waiting on you. I enjoyed that one.
Yo, the jokes is going to be the jokes. You know, it's getting rather difficult to come up with a new way to be surprised. I got some ones I want to do.
You
got to
pull out the blicky on one of them. Like, oh, shit.
I got a couple that I want to do. Like, it just takes some setup. I'm like, yo, this got to.
Why don't you just enlist some help?
I be doing this shit at the crib while I'm at work. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, like, pre-plan it. Somebody can come out and, like, you know, make it a production.
I don't know, man.
It's turning into a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
I figured out the algorithm, too. I can't do them every day. That's why I stopped. I wanted to test something out. If I do them every few days, man, that shit would go out to, like, 1,500 people within the first 30 minutes or so. I'm like, how that shit get so many views so quick?
But you know if you do saying? It every day, they taper it down?
So, like, I'm like, okay, nigga, we got you. We got you a pattern. You keep doing it like this, and we'll put this shit in front of the right people. I'm like, okay.
That's what's up.
So, you know, like, before it'd be like, man, this shit take you all day to get to 1,000 or 1,500, you know what I'm saying, views. Now, within the first 30 minutes, it'd be here. And then, like, the next day, I don't know, 2,500, 27, 3,000 or some shit. I'm like, okay, I'm trying to figure this shit out. I need to crack five. If I crack five, I'm out here.
Okay.
I don't know what that means.
I mean,
it doesn't give me anything other than enjoyment.
Nah, man, the more eyes we get on people, the more traffic. I mean,
that's really what it's about.
Yeah,
right?
It all works. It all works on our end. So,
and so Instagram knows what I'm posting in my stories as well. I post a dad joke, nigga. That shit got three times the views that it would normally get on my story. Like, how did you know that this was there? So they put that because when you go in Instagram, the top. Them little bub, like you can't control who's there. They tell you who you gonna see. Sometimes I just scroll through. It's niggas I ain't seen on my timeline in months. Them niggas got live videos. Like, where y'all been at? They
been on Instagram.
They don't put that shit in front of me. You know what I'm saying? So I'll be like, so what about this particular content made you put that shit in front of so many people?
And they really like promoting reels. That's all it is.
So, well, I'm not with the reels, but with your stories. When I reposted like that dinosaur.
But if you're putting a reel in your story.
I'm not talking about the real story. I'm talking about just a regular dad joke.
Okay.
Meme shit. Like they know. I think they know. Dog.
Yeah, I don't get that one. But I mean, that's your wave, man. Keep at it.
Oh, man.
So maybe I should do a dad joke.
You should. You already got to be darker, though. You know what I'm saying? I got some good ones, dog. I wonder, I can throw some out, but I got to, you know, hey, snuggle with me there. You know what I'm saying? I tried to slide out day three with no snuggle with me there, and it was like, nah, nigga.
It's just not that. People just growing accustomed to expecting it. Yeah,
what's so funny is shit, I was doing a session in here the other day, and after a certain time, the door down there closed, and there was a security guard. So I go down there, open the door. I was about to go down there and let them in. And they made it up already. I'm like, oh, shit, y'all.
Snuck up on me.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to say it that way, but they was like, snuck up on you there. I was like, oh, shit. Like, it's a thing. It's a thing.
You better trademark that.
Yeah, maybe. Snuck up on me there.
Yeah, you better trademark that before I do.
All right, so listen, dog. Father's Day, Sunday, man.
Don't nobody give a fuck. Then nobody give a fuck about Father's Day. Don't nobody give one fuck about Father's Day except fathers.
Two questions. One, do you think that's the truth? And two, why do you think that is?
Because fathers...
Well, start from number one.
You do think I think true? It's the truth?
Yes.
I'm not going to say people don't give a fuck, but it doesn't get the same level of attention that Mother's Day gets. Like, being a father is a hell of a thankless-ass job.
Why didn't you thank your father for Father's Day?
I did. Like, I appreciated my pops. He showed me how to be a father. He showed me how to be a man.
So you gave him the same love and appreciation that your mom got on Mother's Day?
Yeah, but he didn't get fucking diamond earrings. And
you bought your mom diamond earrings?
Nah, I'm just like, when Father's Day comes around, when Mother's Day comes around, you see... You know, K jeweler, like you see nice shit. When it's Father's Day, it's fucking Foreman Mills, toolboxes, shit from JCPenney, power tools.
I'm trying to get to the bottom of this shit. And as I'm getting to the bottom of this shit, now I'm just, you have asked this question a few times. That shit ain't real, dog. Like what actual people do. That's why I said, do you think that's real? Because I've always given my father love. You know what I'm saying?
I gave my old man love every.
And like we never skimped. You know what I'm saying? With gifts. Even when we was kids.
I won't. So let me, because I think I see where you're getting at. I won't say that we skimped with gifts. So my dad was just like a no frills type of guy. Like
a lot of guys are.
Yeah. Is, you know, he happy with, you know, a hat or a sweatshirt and a good meal. And now that I'm a father and like this is my so-called day, like I don't. I'll be honest, like last year was like really like the first year that like I kind of like got some shit for Father's Day. And I was like, wow, like they really kind of like went all out on the gifts for Dad. You know, I got one Father's Day gift this year just from a friend of mine. I doubt I get anything more than that. But you know what? Father's Day for me, what would make me happy, you know, or what's made me happy even in previous years, if I just get like one picture with all my babies. Father's Day, if I can get me a good meal and a competitive playoff game, Father's Day is good for me, man. I ain't got no complaints, because for me the gift is my babies, you know, every day. Like that's my gift. I don't expect to be, you know, to get a $400 or $500 gift. Like I just love my kids. That's the gift. Like that's the sacrifice.
All right, I'm about to say something that it feels like it's true, but if it's not based in nothing besides my feelings.
Okay. Feelings aren't real.
I think times are different for fathers around Father's Day because most fathers are not husbands inside of the home with their children.
Absolutely.
And it's a bunch of baby daddies out there, right? And that's not like a bad thing, but like it's probably a different feeling from when you was growing up and mom and you and your sister or your brothers or whatever got something for Dad. It's different when y'all into it. Could be different. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think it is different. You know, I be real transparent. I feel an enormous amount of guilt sometimes because I can't be the father that I would like to be with having children in, you know, in separate households. Mm. You know, I do the best that I can. You know, I try and, you know, be there for everything. Yeah. You know, if it's a graduation, a game, you know, a recital, I try and be there. But sometimes it makes it hard for me to be an effective father when I got, you know, one set of kids here, one set of kids here, and one set of kids somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going through a little conundrum right now with my oldest daughter and, you know, wanting to stand firm on something that I don't want her to do. But it's hard to get like her mother's buy-in because I can only talk to her so often. We not in the same house and like, you know, mom got a different opinion than what I got. And, you know, it's hard to put my foot down every fucking where. Like I can, yeah. You know, when she with me, you know, I'm the boss of shit. But like when she go home to her mama house, you know, the long arm of the law don't necessarily reach everywhere. So I mean, it's and like I said, just for me, it's just. You know, if I feel a little level of guilt because I don't wake up with my babies every day when just like little shit comes up, you know, unfortunately, like I'm not always I try and be there for the big stuff. But like, you know, they come home excited from something that happened at school. If they going home to mom, I'm missing out on that shit.
Yeah.
And like that, I'll be honest, like sometimes that shit like hurt my fucking feelings. But like this just is what it is, and I gotta deal with the dynamics of the relationship as what they are. Mm.
That's real. That's heavy. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, the reason I was asking these questions is like, one, is that a real thing? I don't know that it's a real thing, but if you say it so many times, it becomes the real thing. And now I was thinking like, yo, Father's Day, because I guess I forget which comedian said it, but once you put that shit in a stand-up
bit. Big piece of chicken.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, it was Chris Rock.
Yeah, the big now, piece of chicken.
Now it's like law. Yeah, Father's Day don't mean shit. Like, to who? Nigga, that shit always meant something to my family. With everybody in my family. Like, we don't, it don't just be like my father, like all my uncles and shit like that. It always was something, right? I just don't know. I think we'd be talking like, everything is absolute. I'm like, no, nigga, talk about your dad. Nigga, not mine.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess I haven't gotten to the point where, like, my kids are grown and can go. Like, I only got, like, one. You know, my oldest son works. My daughter just started working. So, I mean, I haven't gotten to the point where, like, you know, they buying me shit with their own money. Like, you know, if they get me something, it's from their mothers. And I can't expect anything from them, and I'm not in relationships with them or whatnot, and you know that shit kind of goes in waves. Like if we ain't in a good, you know, this year we ain't in, I ain't in the best space with all of them. So I mean, if I don't get shit, you know, then fuck it, I don't get shit. But like I said, my gift for me is to see my babies. You know, when I pick my sons up and take them to get haircuts, when I take my daughter to buy some new shoes, when I just, you know, when I step out the car and my baby girl grab my hand, that's my gift. That's when I feel the love. If it don't come in the material items, you know, I can pretty much buy anything I want for myself. Yeah, it's nice to get, you know, a good friend of mine bought me a gift this year for Father's Day. Just, you know, something I had tweeted out that I wanted. She saw it.
You put a list out.
Oh, no. So this is going to be a... It wasn't something that's on the list.
Okay.
But I did. And the list will be back up tomorrow.
Rolexes,
for niggas to pay homage.
Yays, nigga got firearms in that motherfucker. Like, that. Relax.
No yays. But I'm going to put a Rolex.
I could have swore you had some buffs on that bitch.
No, I got the whole list. No buffs.
It wasn't on your Instagram story. Didn't have on your
card. No, because I don't like glasses. I don't need glasses. I'm not into buffs. But my mama bought my daddy a Rolex. My grandmother bought my grandfather a Rolex. And goddamn it, when I get married, I need a Rolly. Because I don't want a wedding ring. With this Rolly, I be wed. That's what the fuck I want.
Oh, you're going to give me a wedding ring. But there's always, apparently, there's a gift that you purchase for the bride as well. And for the, give me a Rolly.
And I'll even go out on a limb. It ain't even got to be a brand new Rolly. As long as it's got the papers, I take it.
The older Rolex is like, that's money.
If we make it through this thing 20-25 years, bitch, I want a presidential. You know,
I want
the 14 karat gold 44mm, bitch. That's the one 36, I want. 36,
because that's the original one. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the one that John F. Kennedy had. That's the one that Pac had on. Like, they didn't make the larger size until, like, within the last 10 years or so. They'd be like, I want the
big one.
I want the original one.
Bust down. Yeah. Ain't that what the kids call it? Give me that bust down.
The main Rolex diamonds. What the fuck you done to that?
No, and I don't want the big. I just want a plain gold presidential. That's my goal.
Yeah. I mean, literally, that is a...
it's the standard
item that I want, and I said I wouldn't get it for myself until I felt like I deserved it. So when I reached whatever the milestone is, professionally or personally, I'm gonna buy that, and that's gonna be the signification to, like,
absolutely,
Jay,
that I've arrived.
Yeah,
that's my I've arrived item.
Now, we understand that Rolex ain't the most expensive watch in the world, but it means everything to me.
Stats.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I just want it. I want it.
I've looked into Rolexes for far too long, but they designed it to be noticeable from 40 feet away. So from 40 feet away, someone should look at your watch and understand that it's a Rolex. And that's what it was designed to do. I'm like, oh, okay. But
that's what I want. That's what I want.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to get one. I don't deserve it right now, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could have got one, but like, nah.
I got my old man's Rolex when he passed, but like, I need one of my own. I need the woman that's gonna take me in the glory. I need her to buy me a Rolex.
That means you gotta have a very specific type of woman that can afford to go just buy a Rolex.
So, I keep telling you, I'm not doing broke bitches. I'm not doing broke. Not broke mentally. Not broke emotionally. Not broke financially. I don't want it.
I'm just saying, it puts a lot of pressure on yourself as well, because you got to match or do better than.
So. That's fine. Because this next time, like, when I get married again, this is it. And this next time, like, she going to get the best version of Dame that the world has to offer.
Yeah. Speaking of Father's Day, children, seeing them, not seeing them, or there was a situation that came across the timeline.
Talk about it.
And I saw some comments from you on this situation. I had some thoughts. So there was a video of a gentleman who went to his child's mother home. Apparently it was like 6:30 in the morning. He was trying to see his child. He had the video camera out. She had called, I guess, her current boyfriend, and her current boyfriend showed up a lot bigger than the gentleman. Not scared of him at all. Was very disrespectful to him.
Not scared of that nigga holding that pistol neither.
Alleged pistol, because I didn't see one.
Fair enough. He alluded to the fact that he had a pistol more than once.
The boyfriend kept saying, I didn't care about that. He was like, man, I'm just pulling my pants up or some shit. Who knows? He's like, man, you better get out here before I beat you up. They said beat you up. So backstory apparently is the young woman works midnights. So she's a third shifter. So a lot of comments like, why is you there at 6:30 in the morning? Apparently she don't answer the phone for the nigga no other time. So there's a short window of time that I actually have to try to see my child.
Gotta seize his opportunity.
And from a person who worked third shift for like 3 years, 6:30 in the morning is might as well be 6:30 p.m. And if you wait a little bit later, I'm dead to the world about 10 o'clock.
I feel you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so if I work a regular job and she works a midnight job, if I wait any later, one, I'm probably gonna have to go to work around 8 o'clock. I'm not gonna be, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what the situation is,
right?
But the overall scene was like, yo, it's 6:30. That's way too early to be seeing the kid. Don't school start at 7 o'clock? I know that's the week after school, but like, why y'all act like 6:30? Like, kids
7:30 or so, 7:30 or so.
Like, so for me, this is just me. I don't know their situation, right? Because they clearly was some.
Everybody's got some nuances in their parenting situation.
I don't give a fuck what time it is. If I want to see my child, and I'm there already.
That's a slippery slope, my nigga.
It is. It, I'm it not really saying is. That works for it everybody. Really is. But while I'm actually here already, why can't I just see my kid? It's not like I'm trying to come over here to see if you got a boyfriend or you got a nigga over here. Your boyfriend's here. He here to clear me out of here. Like, it's not like I'm trying to, let me see what she doing, man. She fucking with somebody else. No, you clearly know she got a nigga because he was about to beat you up. And you knew he got called before. Like, I don't even think it was one of those situations. I could be wrong, but it doesn't appear that's one of those situations. Like, she probably got a nigga over there. I got a whole boyfriend. And you know, he said, because he told me, I really don't like you. He's like, nigga, I don't care. You better get out of here before I beat you up. Like, so they know each other or know of each other.
They got a rapport.
Yeah. So I don't think it's a situation where it's like, I'm trying to see what she up to. You know what she up to.
Yeah, so I can probably speak on this more educated than most people, because I done been on all sides of the fence where, you know, I've definitely, you know, I done played crazy baby daddy before, you know, had to pop up and let my presence be known with shit.
Your presence be known to whom?
Nigga, the fucking block. Let me preference this in saying I ain't proud for some of my actions.
But I get that. But what I'm saying, who was you trying to let your presence be known to?
Whoever the fuck outside. Or like her. Like whoever needs. Like I got a thing with disrespect, or when I feel like I'm being disrespected, I have to address it right then and there. I've drove across my baby's mother's lawns.
Why do you feel it's okay to do that?
Who the fuck gonna stop me?
That's not the answer to my question.
That is my answer. Who the fuck gonna do something about it?
Let's say there's no
one. I'm not scared of boyfriends, brothers, right, cousins, fathers, like shit like that.
Let's put on the table. There's no one who can stop you. Why do you feel it's okay to do that though?
I don't feel it's okay. I was dead wrong. Okay. I don't feel like it was okay. Like looking back on it, it's created a lot of stress and strife. You know, with the women I have children with. But I've done this shit. Like,
I wonder why, though. Because there's a reason why. Like, it's a reason. Like, yo, I'm. You may have said this.
Sometimes there's still emotions involved.
So, yeah, tell me if I'm a bitch. Like, listen, I may be the reason that we're not together. And I may be having all this type of other shit that's going on the side. But I'm not ready for you to move on yet. So I'm going to come over here and make my presence known to him. Because I don't want you to move on yet.
I have, and I've been that nigga. Okay. I can honestly say I've been that. You know, I done talked tough to niggas. I've pulled my pistol out on niggas. You know, I done drove across the grass. I done disrespected your parents. I done disrespected the new nigga that you dealing with. Like, I've been the headache. So I get that part of things. But what I always, I had a judge that, you know, because I done been to court hella times dealing with this shit. And I had an incident, and I had a judge that gave me a very real piece of advice that I really took to heart. Like, this man could have threw the book at me, but he showed me grace and mercy. And he said, you know, Mr. Bradley, say if somebody stole your car and you knew where your car was at. You knew what side of the city it was on. You knew somebody was driving it. Like, you knew for sure your car was on 1545 Greenlawn Street every day. He said, how would you go about getting your car back? He said, are you just going to go up over there and strong arm your car? Or are you going to take the proper steps to protect yourself? And I was like, you know, if I knew where my car was at, now I'm just not going to just roll. I probably wouldn't just roll up over there. Like,
I'm 100% rolling over there.
Like, take the emotion out of it. Like,
I found my dad's car before. His car was stolen. I found it. Like, I randomly found it, and we went over there and got it.
But in most cases, if you find it and then the police stop you, it's going to be like a little bit of rigmarole for the whole deal. But what he was trying to say is, like, think of your child as that same investment. You know where your baby is at. Instead of going up over here and making shit harder and more difficult, just go through the proper steps to see your child. The court worked both ways. And that's what, and niggas be kind of, I think sometimes they be a little bit of afraid of going to friends at a court. Or
you
going,
should be
or
afraid. Going,
nah, man, the court, look, I didn't, I'm more transparency, saying, I done drug my kids' mothers to court when they done did some shit that I didn't like. And I won in court more than once.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't go, but hell yeah, there's a healthy amount of fear that goes with that shit because it doesn't work in your favor all the time. More often than not, the friends of the court works out for the woman. That's not saying that's good, bad. What I'm saying is, as a guy, it's okay to have the healthy fear of it. That don't mean don't do it.
Niggas be having a healthy fear of it because they be behind in child support, or they worried about the financial end of it. For me, I'm not delinquent in my child support.
So what if there's never been a child support order and you've been taking care of your kids for the last 10 years? Something happens in a relationship, y'all go y'all separate ways, and then a motherfucker say, I'm going to put you on child support and back child support. Well, do you have any receipts, sir? For the last 10 years of me raising children?
No, you...
I've seen this shit happen.
Oh, I've seen it happen. I know people that it's personally happened too. So, yeah, is it fair across all ends? Absolutely not. But, like, you have to use the court as your recourse. Like, it's not going to be... It's not always going to be fair. It's not always going to go her way. It's not always going to go your way. But you can't go in... If you go into court as, like, the bitter baby daddy or the bitter baby mama, you're going to fucking lose. Like, you...
Has there ever been a time where you may have been having a bad day, something's going on in life, and you just need to see your children.
Yes.
Like, I can't imagine, and like that being the peace that will calm you or whatever this the thing may be, and then somebody be like, nah. Not nah, because you pose some threat to the child or some shit or anything like that. It's just nah. Cause like, if there isn't no kind of issue where you think that the father or the mother is about to harm the child or anything like that, like if they there and you can physically let them, like, yep, there's no support order or nothing like that, then why don't you let them go? Like, I can say, is it like, yo?
Because people deal in emotions.
Yeah.
And sometimes those emotions get the best of them where they can be bitter on shit. Nigga, if we just talking honest, I had an incident where I couldn't see one of my kids for like a month. I didn't know where she moved. I didn't know where she was. I didn't know where the hell she lived.
I can see that as driving somebody insane.
Now, did I want to act the fuck up? Like, I probably could have made some phone. I know I could have made some phone calls and figured out where she was in probably like a couple hours. But like, if I pop up over there, it's only going to make the situation worse. It's only going to elevate whatever emotions are there. So I had to ride that shit out. I probably went damn near 6-8 weeks without seeing one of my kids because of that situation. And there's not a lot that even though I have a support order that says I get her or I get the child these days a week, you know, if I don't know where she at, I don't know how to serve her. I don't, you know, so I'm kind of at a loss.
You got to serve her.
I got to figure out where she is to serve her.
No, I was reading the comments like, no, you got to serve them with the paperwork. Or is it a third party that does it?
It's typically a third party. But where do I send a third party to if I don't know where you at? Man. So, I mean, you know, it's a lot of, you know, sometimes it's a level of maturity. Sometimes, you know, just because our relationship has dissolved or is not in a good place, it shouldn't affect the child. And then sometimes you just got to let cooler heads prevail. I get it on one end, like, if you're not answering my calls and I want to see my child, my only recourse, if I haven't gone through the courts, I got to pop up here.
Let me catch you while you're actually there.
Yeah.
At a time where I know you would be there and the child be there. Hey, can I see my...
That's not always healthy for the child to see, like, you know, it's almost like a circus act. The child might be in the window and they want to see the other parent. And it's like my daddy outside acting crazy with my mom. Like, it puts something difficult in the atmosphere.
For sure.
So, I mean, I'm always a proponent of keeping the courts out of shit. Because I just, you know, if we can just work things out as two adults, like, I would much prefer to work it out that way. But sometimes you just cannot see the meeting of the minds, because mothers, I've noticed sometimes, think that they more the mother than the father is a father. Like, we both equal parents in this thing. And just because you woke up today and felt like you the boss, bitch, don't mean you the boss of me. Yeah. And that's where, like, a lot of that's, you know, a lot of that shit go out the window. Like, you just can't boss me around because you having a bad day or you feel what you feel. Like, I don't give a fuck what you feel.
And I think a lot of times that one of the parents think that their job is more important.
Or their responsibilities.
But in the child's eyes, they're equally important. Like, I don't care. Like, it may take you, say, let's say it took you 27 hours to do a task for a child, and that's a lot of fucking work. And it took dad 4 hours to do a task for the child. The child see them things as equal. Like, I get it that you may think what you do is more important, but the time that you take to do something or the difficulty it takes you to do a task doesn't mean that the result of that is more impactful in that child's mind. Like, I need both.
The kids just want the love of their parents. And I, you know, when I talk about that situation where I didn't see one of my kids for like a couple weeks, the thing that broke it is that I was on the phone with my child, and when we got off the phone, they started crying. And her mother reached out to me. You know, it's I don't give a fuck. It's with my daughter. her mother reached out to me. She was like, you know, I was on the fence about you seeing her because of the issues that you and I had. But she was like, you know, our baby broke down because she missed her daddy. And, like, I couldn't in my heart and in good conscience trying to continue to keep that away, keep you away from her. And we worked that part of it out. We still had some issues, but, like, at least we were able to work on that part. I'm never going to knock the women that I had kids with, because they are good women. They're beautiful women. You know, they're smart, educated, independent. They do everything they need to do as mothers. Just because we all couldn't always make love or make the relationship work shouldn't affect you allowing me to be a competent and available father in their lives. And sometimes you just got to kind of go through shit and put – it's ego. And sometimes you just got to put your fucking ego to the side, because it's not about us. It's about raising responsible, respectable little human beings so they can go on into the world. And, you know, even on my end, sometimes I got to put my ego aside. I don't like the way that they fucking talk to me sometimes. I don't like the way that they try and put their foot down with me or tell me what the fuck I ain't going to do in the house that I pay bills at.
You talking about the children?
They mamas.
Oh.
the kids is just kids. But, like, they done tried to impose rules on me in my fucking house. And I'm like, for not finding a better phrase, suck my fucking dick. I do what I want to in my house. But sometimes I got to tuck my tail and, you know, just let the ego part of it go, because I've been wrong as fuck too. Like I said, I've been disrespectful. I've been confrontational. I don't give a fuck about daddies, brothers, your new boyfriend. Like, if them niggas... My theory or my plea to them all the time is, you can send whoever the fuck you want to after me. You know, I just want it to be this. This is the only thing that I ask. If you're going to send them after me, make sure it's their best day. I don't want no excuses when I shoot your brother. I want it to be an 80-degree day, the best day of the year. You know, he didn't. Hamstring is good. I don't want no excuses when this shit escalate to something that you wasn't ready for.
To quote Chael Sonnen, send whoever you want. Just don't send nobody you want back. Okay?
Because you love that nigga. I don't. That's the thing. Like, you love whoever, man, you send after me, you love. I don't give a fuck about.
Man, this is a great segue, man.
And if this is the line, I'm willing to jump past that bitch twice. You can cross anybody else's line. Don't cross mine.
Yeah, that's a great segue, man, because I really wanted to talk about situations like that when the woman or a woman get her loved ones into something because they have a bad attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have a bad...
Get them together!
Now, I've seen situations... today we see a video of a girl who brought her boyfriend up to the job to argue and try to fight a dude at work. And they was all like, no, man, get your girl. Like, I don't got to give shit. He's like, no, you actually do.
That ego. Like, it's that ego.
And then she holding him back. And he like, you didn't call him up here. Like, you might as well let him, like, don't call me up here. If you just gonna hold me back, hold me back.
And that's what I need people to understand. Like, there's certain people I know in my life, if I make the call, it's no turning back. Like, the call has been made, and whatever's gonna happen when they get there is what the fuck is gonna happen.
I think one of the twins said, and I echoed this. I think it was on episode, or I don't know if it was on episode, all four of us were talking. It was like, listen, man. There's certain people that I'm going to answer the phone for, and I'm going to go, I'm full tilt. Like, but I would hope that you wouldn't put me in the situation.
Don't put me in that type of situation unless it's really for war. Because I'm willing to go to war for you.
Because I can either die or I can go to prison. Like, either way, you could not see me again. And I want that, because there's certain people who got that call. Like, I want you to be careful with that shit.
Absolutely.
Because I can lose my life, or someone else can lose my life. I mean, lose their life, and by default, I lose mine. I'm going to prison or some shit.
Look, I know for sure there's like four or five people I can think of off the top of my head. If my phone go off at 3 a.m. and it's them, look, nigga, I'm coming. And whatever happened when we get there, like, niggas, between us three and the Lord. Like, but I'm a come.
So, like, I saw dude went up there. He got beat up. Okay. I mean, the fight was, they couldn't really fight. But he involved into
he
the
took
purposes.
Him to Suplex City, though. He gave him the tour of Suplex
and
City.
And he did a Kurt Angle. He a belly back, suplex, and, like, he boom, twice in a row. Couple, caught him with a little knee.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He caught him with that knee getting up.
Then my man just, you know, tucked his tail left. But I did see a situation where a woman got into it with her boyfriend, called her cousins and her uncles over there to come jump on the dude who was also in a handicap. Nigga shot everybody. You calling your peoples up here and they getting worked. I done seen videos where, in real life, where you didn't call somebody that came up there, got murked, got worked, or they end up in prison. Like, you don't love them people if you keep calling them up there. Like,
you putting your family members in a bad position.
Because you don't know how to conflict resolute.
Is that the phrase?
Yes.
Conflict resolute?
Yeah, it's very... immediately, right yeah. now, but because you don't know conflict resolution, you out here,
you putting people in danger for harm's way. How about you just shut the fuck up while you at work?
And you know what? I gotta take this off women, niggas too.
Yeah,
don't call your cousin, call your brother over here, and then all y'all niggas get wiped the fuck out. Cause listen, don't ever call nobody for me, dog. Because you really don't know what type of time I'm... Why would you... Don't do it. I know what you think going to happen, but what if it don't?
You think your brothers and your cousins going... You think your brothers and your cousins the tough niggas that you think they is. And it's a tough nigga in every hood in America. And they catch me on the wrong day, they going to be some dead tough niggas.
So, this just recently, like the day before yesterday, locally... a couple got into it. Allegedly, the man put his hands on a woman. Woman called her father. Father come over. Now, these people like 40 years old. Father, who's 66 years old, he come over there, shoot the boyfriend. Dead. Police get there, ambulance, he doing chest compressions and shit. At least he ain't just leaving there or whatever. But, like, are you ready for your father to go to prison now? You know, like...
Because that's the reality of the situation.
Because you should have called the police. Because you called your father over there. You know your father coming to protect his daughter. Your father just shot a nigga. He going to prison, man. He going to prison.
Or even if you flip it on the other side, what if your boyfriend shoot your daddy?
Nigga.
Now your daddy dead than a bitch.
Because that could have been... What if you got your father killed, man? Now, I'm not saying that don't ask for protection or don't call your dad, whatever. Call the police, though, man. Like, your dad's 66. That's older than my father. I can't imagine me calling my father for help. Like, when there's, like, a altercation.
Yeah.
Like, no, my dad, that part of his life is over with. Now, he would do it. You know what I'm saying?
He's still about that action.
You feel
Mr.
me?
Mr. Johnson's still about that action.
I got the guns from him. Okay, he taught me.
Yeah, right.
All that shit, I got, it come from him. So he would do it. But I would never call my dad on no shit like that. Like, why?
You just never know what type of line of fire that you putting the people in that you love.
Man, I was so worried. Before my parents moved to Farmington, they were still staying in the neighborhood on Jay Road and shit. And I was just so worried about my dad because I know how he is and he don't really take disrespect. But, like, the kids, this was still 10 years ago. Even 10 years ago, it's a different level of kid.
Yeah.
You be like, hey, watch out, stay off the grass or some shit like that. Nigga, fuck you in that grass. And not, my dad not about to turn around and walk in the house. And then got a pistol literally. Open carry.
No, I feel,
you know what I'm saying?
He sounds a lot like my pops.
So it's like, I don't want you in that environment because of how you can react and how they're going to react or whatever. So I used to be not, like, look, come on, man.
Look, I took my babies to the park on Sunday, and I saw a situation similar to that. These young boys, probably about late teens, early 20s, throwing the football, throwing the shit hard with this lady, and they were near this lady that was pushing her children on the swing. She asked, hey, could you be careful? Nigga turn around, oh, fuck you, bitch. And she, so when her husband pulled up, you know, he handled the situation. Now, luckily, the little boys was more bark than bite, and the little niggas backed down.
And I tell you what, and this is being real. If you're in a situation like that, and you call somebody up there to go address the person who just verbally assaulted you, you don't love your loved one like you say you do. Like, I get it. You don't want nobody disrespecting your woman and shit like
it's
that.
It's all ego. It's all ego. They disrespected me, so now they gotta be dealt with.
Go defend my honor. Like, you know how this gonna end, right?
How it could end.
You want me to go over there and give him a strong talking to? How you think that's gonna end? You know what I'm saying?
You know, sometimes
because that's how it would start. Like, what? So, all right, boom. One of y'all called my girl a bitch. Yeah, it was me. All right, like, what's the recourse? Because it can go there, but like, is it really worth it?
So, I had an incident once with this young lady I was dating. Like, her son got into it on the playground with some little niggas a little bit older than him. If he was maybe 11, 12 at the time, these niggas were probably like 17, 18. You know, she all in a frenzy, want to go down there. I said, nah, I'm going to go down there and I'm going to talk to the niggas. I went down there. He pointed out the little young nigga and we just talked. I was like, look, this is like my youngin'. Leave him the fuck alone. Like, clearly he's younger than y'all. He a kid. Like, don't fuck with him. You know what I'm saying? He got people that love him and give a fuck about him too. The young nigga was actually receptive. No problems. Shit was over. Now, the young nigga could have went. He could have pulled the strap on me. It could have went another way. And
he could go home and
get his brothers.
Have that regular civil conversation with him. Yo, man, old boy down the street. You know, he came down. Huh? That big ass nigga came down here? Come on. And I was.
But on the flip side, I had an altercation with my neighbor because of how I perceived him talking to one of my kids, and it turned violent. You know what I'm saying? On my end, I was the when my son came in the house and I saw like the look on his face, nigga, I went outside, pistol in hand, and I was ready to shoot the nigga up the street that lived on the corner house from me. Like, it turned violent. So, I mean, it, like I said, it can go either way with shit. Cooler heads got to prevail, and sometimes you have to take the ego out of it. It's hard to do that in the heat of battle, though. You know, in the heat of the moment, you want your revenge. You want your respect. You want shit to be equal.
Man, that's what I be thinking. When we used to be hanging out Friday nights, Saturday nights, clubbing, doing all this shit. You know, niggas be drunk and we'll be drinking, hanging out downtown on Jefferson, the whole nine yards. I used to just think about Monday morning in front of a judge and having to explain in a coherent what exactly happened. Yes, Your Honor, after he smudged my gym shoe with his foot, I shot up the entire club. Like, it don't sound right.
Because it's stupid.
In the heat of the moment.
This nigga stepped on my J's.
Yeah, man. He told my son to get the ball off his grass, and so I killed him. What? I mean, but you should have saw his face.
He disrespected me.
You know what I'm saying? It felt differently on that emotional shit, but emotion's not real. Feelings aren't real. Like, I just be thinking, like, yo, this shit gonna sound wild as fuck at an arraignment. Like, yo.
Because it is. Because it fucking is.
Definitely been in situations like, you know what? This could be a falling down situation, like that movie. But, like, I'm just going to go the fuck home. And that takes... So, I never understood this. And somebody was explaining it to about Martin Luther King, right? About the strength it take to not react. Because it's easy as fuck, nigga, say some shit to you for you to pop off and go back. But to say I got a goal to do something, like, it takes a lot not to respond to a motherfucker.
When I feel like somebody has gotten over on me or attempted to get over on me, I can't sleep at night. You know what I'm saying? Like, I literally cannot sleep. I had some shit happen earlier this year. I don't know if I talked about it on the podcast. I was at fucking Myers, and I was pulling into a parking spot. And I was kind of close to another car, and I see a nigga get out the car, and he was like trying to talk to me. But I had both my windows rolled up. So when I rolled the window down, I was like, you know, what's up? I didn't know what he was trying to get at. He was like, nigga, you almost hit my car. He was like, you was real fucking close. You almost hit my car. But I'm like, I can see the distance between me and the car. I'm like, nigga, you in between the car talking to me. Like, I ain't really that close. The nigga threw a whole fucking, like, Pepsi inside of my car.
Oh, shit.
The whole fucking Pepsi inside of my car. Now, I carry just like you do. So my first thought, like, I'm going to get out and I'm going to shoot this. But I'm like, dog.
Yeah, listen, dog.
I'm like, listen. I had to calm myself down. I said, Dave, today is not it. It's really not important. Just go home.
It's a long time ago, dog. But me and this nigga Muddy was driving, dog. We was going to, I think we was going to 12 Oaks, you know what I'm saying, a long time ago. We was like in some rush hour traffic and shit. And the car over to, I'm in the passenger side. I'm shotgun. And the car over to on the right-hand side wouldn't let us over, did some shit. And this nigga got this giant fucking.
It was like that. It was a cup like that, like a McDonald's cup.
A giant super-sized McDonald's cup. He said, Jay, hey, throw this shit out. He said, throw this. I'm like, what? I'm like, no. This nigga said, hold on, watch out. Nigga rolled my window down, leaked out. And threw that shit all over their windshield, dog. And it was like an old Asian lady in that motherfucker. So she had to, like, do the little windshield wipe. I'm like, dog, this nigga's a fucking nut, dog. Like, it was a whole supersized me. That nigga was like,
whew. Nigga threw a whole McDonald's cup worth of Pepsi in my fucking truck. And, like, I wanted to get out and, like, handle the nigga. I'm like, you know, if I get out and do that, like, what's the chances this nigga gonna follow me inside of fucking Myers and I'm gonna have to deal with him there again? I just was like, you know what? I'll come get this shit later. I just took the L and went home. Like, it just wasn't worth the fight to me that day. And I just had to tuck my tail with it because I know how this shit could have escalated. I know me. You know, like, you don't know me, but I know me. And I know where I'm willing to take this shit.
Man, I remember I was working at Comcast and shit, right? And it was in my it takes a lot to get me. I don't get rattled. You know what I'm saying? It takes a lot to get emotion out of me. You can say whatever the fuck you want. This is when I was getting first in the leadership. This is like 2008 to 2009-ish. Shit, matter of fact, this is like 2007, be exact. And young white lady was on the phone, and an Arab gentleman on the phone. He didn't want to talk to her because she was a woman, right? So he put me on the phone, and I couldn't understand what he was saying at first. But what I made out was, like, he didn't want to talk to me because I'm a black guy. I was like, oh, but I'm the HNIC, okay?
Right.
So going back and forth, and then he crossed the line. You know what I'm saying? That nigga talking about, I'll put my dick in your mouth and this and that. And, like, went directly to my phone, brung up his address on Google and shit, and it was a 17-minute drive. You know what I'm saying? I told him, I'm like, listen, all right, at this point, I can't have this conversation with you no more, so you have a nice day. We couldn't hang up on him, but I just mic'd myself out. He thought I hung up or whatever. So after I worked, went to the gas station, and I broke up my phone. I'm like, it's a 15-minute drive. I mean, because I'm a little bit closer and shit, or a 15-mile drive. And, like, I really contemplated. And I drove halfway there. Like, I legitimately drove halfway there and then turned myself around and shit. Because, like, you don't never fucking know what type of time the other person that you're talking shit to is on.
You're right.
And as a person in a situation with someone who disrespects you, you don't know what type of time they on. You have no idea. And you about to go bring one of your loved ones and insert them into a situation that can be their last day, could be your last day, everybody fucking last day.
So did I ever tell you about the police officer that I had issues with out there?
Yeah.
Okay.
You ran into it. I think you may have told this story at the, like, one of the first episodes.
Yeah, I turned off his utilities.
Then you run. Yeah, go ahead, tell her.
So this is a quick story time with Dame. I don't know if they're ever quick, but I had a incident. I had a police officer pull me over across the street from the job. He said I made a rolling stop. Now I'm watching the motherfucker come up Van Dyke, so I know I stopped. He said, "Look, I'm just gonna give you the ticket. We'll go to court. I won't show up. It'll be a done deal." Nigga showed up in court and told a lie that I ran the red light. I looked this motherfucker up and I called consumers. I said, "Hey, I'm having a problem with my identity. I need to turn off my lights. And unless somebody comes into the office with identification, please don't turn them on. This is on a 4th of July weekend." So the nigga was out without power all fucking weekend. That Tuesday.
That's excellent.
That Tuesday, that nigga came up to the job looking for me. They pulled me off. They pulled me out of the office so I could go see this nigga. Now this is bad. Now remember when we changed, when we upgraded the system, like it kind of like tattooed your name onto the account. This was pre that.
Yeah.
So they couldn't. I didn't fuck with his cable. You know, I didn't turn his cable off. I just got his social security number and his address and turned off his utilities. He was like, "I know it was you." And I told him very politely, "If you knew it was me, we wouldn't be having this conversation at my job. We'd be having it probably down at the precinct or something different." I got pulled over every month for like the next 6 months, like at least 2-3 times a month. I ran into this motherfucker with him and his wife and his child at the movie theater, and I punted a box of popcorn out that little bitch's hand at the movie theater. Look, man, I'm willing to take shit further than you're willing to take shit. Stop fucking with people because you don't know how they really land.
You don't. Don't.
You don't know how they land.
It better be.
And then that motherfucker got killed in the line of duty, which proves that bitch ass niggas go to hell quick.
Yeah, I'm not gonna co-sign that part.
I am. God forgives, I don't.
Yeah, I'm not gonna co-sign that part, man. God bless him though.
Yeah, fuck that nigga and his family.
It's unfortunate.
Fuck that nigga and his family. You cross me, you got an enemy for life.
That nigga not even here no more.
And, well,
he's still winning because you still get all this anger. And
fuck his dead body. Fuck his widowed ass wife. And fuck that little bastard bitch of a baby they had.
Yeah, man. You're going too far.
But I'm working on myself.
You're going too far.
I'm working on myself.
God don't like ugly, man. I can't deal with that. So listen, man. Last thing, dog. I know this woman in real life. I just want to start off saying this.
Okay.
I know this woman in real life. I had a exchange with her on Twitter.
Oh, I thought she was talking about a different exchange.
So this is the tweet. It says, she retweeted something. She quoted a tweet, but I'm going to read the original tweet. My homeboy girl been sitting at the house not working for over a year. I told him my job hiring, send me a resume. Now she got an interview on Tuesday. When I saw her, I said, "What up?" And she looked at me like this.
Oh, yeah.
With the little tear and shit like that.
Right.
So my homegirl, she say, "I hope she blows the interview on purpose." And I was like, "Trife." She's like, "He should have minded his business. It's not like he's paying her bills." I'm like, "Well, shit, she not paying her bills. The problem is we paying her bills. Out of work niggas living off the government when they are capable of work is trash." That's how I feel. He didn't say anything about her living off the government, though. Seems to me it's more about him, more about his own feelings on whether she works or not, which really doesn't have shit to do with him if his homeboy is fine with it.
He's not fine with it.
I said, "No. Her boyfriend sent the resume because her ass need a job. Clearly. If not, he would have been like, nah, she good." And I'm like, "How are you trying to flip someone getting somebody a job into like a bad thing? This is crazy. Getting a job isn't a bad thing. Him minding someone else's business is a bad thing, LOL. He could have recommended anywhere else, but he knew... Anywhere else he knew was hiring, but it just had to be put himself in it." I said,
this is where the fuck I work at.
I said, I wanted to end. I didn't want to keep going back. I said, I disagree with just about all of that. Then she came back. I think it's because you're a man. Yeah, because I'm using logic and common sense.
What?
I said, I think you find an issue with someone getting their friend's girl a job is crazy. Not because you're a woman, because you're crazy. And you know she eating off unemployment, a.k.a. the government, in this goddamn plandemic if you've been off for a year. Stop playing with me. It's the getting her a job without her consent for me. Just feels sneaky and controlling.
I hate that line. It's the blank for me. I fucking hate that.
Am I tripping? 3 question marks. Yes, you're tripping. First of all, getting somebody a job without her consent. If y'all don't get the fuck out of with this consent shit.
Without her consent. The bitch had to show up for the interview. I didn't put a fucking gun in her head.
If my man makes me get a job at or with his homeboys because his homeboy said so, I'm going to smash his friend. Like, since you think he's so highly of him.
Okay, now you just be toxic.
Now you just no one stupid. Made you do anything. The passing of a resume is an opportunity. You don't have to take a job, but if you're out of work, if this opportunity fits, why turn it down? And then why would you turn around and cheat on a man? Like, you really hate men in real life. Only a couple more. I wouldn't cheat, but honestly, if my man is taking care of me and never expressed that he wanted me to get a job, then I wouldn't do it unless I wanted to. I wouldn't apply where his homeboy works, though. I would feel like they've been talking behind my back and trying to keep tabs. I said, that's a lot of assumptions, and you clearly see the world and everyone else as against you.
She's so smart, she's stupid.
You thought the offer was a setup. Would you, like, I hate to sound cliche, but, like, who hurt you? Like, people can't just look out for their friends?
Maybe I get a referral bonus. Like, it's.
He said, I mean, it's just a precaution to me. It's not about being hurt. I'm going to be worried every time. I want to leave early or call out and live my life. He want to tell my man. I just don't trust it. Like, why would you assume that a nigga give up? Like,
why are you putting a burden of all, why are you putting a burden to everything, number one, on this man that you so-called love, your man? Get, like, your lazy ass the fuck up.
She just said it felt like he was controlling. I'm like, well, okay, well, you working, well, not working. I don't got no kids. You not working, living off another nigga you ain't worked in a year. You don't think that's controlling? Because I got all control over your life. You don't have no money. Like,
facts. Facts.
But so, like, a friend of mine, they had a loved one who lost a job recently. Said, hey, I'm hiring. You know, we hiring at the gig. You know, shoot me their resume. Shit, I fuck around, hire them. I will push them through. That's just how that shit work.
That's how a lot of jobs work.
You
got an inside track.
Like, you look out for somebody else. Shoot this resume to me. Like, Steve felt that. Now, am I looking at this because we both men, so I don't know.
I don't give a fuck about nobody else's opinion except Jed Dames.
But, like, is this a control? Like, I don't get it.
No, it's not a control thing. Like, nigga, for me, that's a hookup. Like, my man. This is a guarantee end. All you got to do is send my man a resume. He going to work out the rest of it.
Man, somebody posted something. I think I reposted. Like, yo, this is the most entitled. Like, everybody feels entitled to everybody's shit without doing nothing for it. Like,
that's 100% correct.
Like, as an adult.
I'm not obligated to take care of you.
You just don't get the not. I just don't feel like working no more. What? Like, you're an adult. You're a grown up.
How are you going to pay bills? How do you live without work? Are you hustling? Are you selling pussy? Like, what are you doing to make money?
Not that, like, I need, like, fam, you just going to sit around the house for a year?
I can understand, like, the pandemic changed a lot of shit.
It did. Let me not say that.
Yes, the pandemic changed a lot of shit.
That's a lot of fucking jobs out here. When last time you been through a fast food restaurant?
Nigga, I picked my daughter up from her job at Wendy's. They have a sign outside, a $200 signing bonus, and they paying $15 an hour.
Everybody who cried for $15 an hour, it didn't get passed, but everybody's offering $15 an hour.
Because they need motherfuckers to work.
Everybody's fucking hiring, but no one wants to fucking work. Make it make sense.
Because the scamdemic done made niggas lazy. They was getting all that money off the unemployment, them PPP loans, taxes hit, the stimulus check. Niggas ain't never had the bag like this ever before in their life. But now the bag drying up.
Like, why would you, like, this person, I had to text her, like, what the fuck is going on here? So, cause, like, are you
she
trolling?
She heard.
Like, are you trolling? Or, like, what the fuck is going on? And it went worse in the text messages and shit. Because, like, what's going on? Like, why are you caping for somebody? I did not look at this situation as somebody trying to be controlling.
Me neither. This.
Like, yo, your girl been out of work or whatever. You know, they hired at the sun judge. Want me to send it? If he didn't want her to work there, he wouldn't have sent the resume.
And I don't see how that's controlling. Like,
why don't you want to work? Shit.
She want to be a kept woman. How many women do you know that just want to be kept? A shit ton of them.
I don't know that.
I know a lot of women that just don't. That just want to be kept. Want to be housewives. My husband gonna take care of it. I ain't gotta work. I know a shit ton of women like that.
I think. Well, I don't, the reason I said I don't know, because I hear y'all say both things. I hear y'all say y'all want to be corporate. Y'all want to be your own boss. I want to move. I want to do this. I want to do that. And you want to be kept woman in house. You can't be working and be home. I mean, oh, I guess.
Oh man, I got a hot take, and it's probably gonna be it's gonna sound real chauvinistic, but it goes into what we talked about earlier. Some of y'all just living off of your old fame. You was a bad bitch back in 2009, you know, 2008 when you graduated high school. You was the baddest bitch coming out of Cody. It's 12 years later. You don't look like that no more. You're too old to be a trophy wife. You've devalued. You are a fucking B-lot Mercedes Benz. You got 278,000 miles on you and a rebuilt fucking transmission.
That's a C and D lot. B-lot be alright, but you know what I'm saying? Not 200.
You got flood damage. You know what I'm saying? You ran through. I'm your sixth owner. You're not what you think that you are anymore. You're not. If you get out here, yes, niggas are going to want to talk to you because you're a woman. Are they going to want to keep you and make you a housewife, take you off the streets? Probably fucking not. I mean, and I'm not trying to be like super chauvinistic with it, but like let's just be realistic. Look in the mirror. You're 30 pounds heavier. You got four more kids. You got stretch marks in places you can't even see no more. Like why do you think you're a fucking trophy wife? You wear a fucking wig. You know, I mean, you're buying your clothes from Ramp. Like, bitch, you're not really what you think you are. You're not what you think you are. There's a newer, better version that comes out every single year. They 18. They fresh off the lot. They fresh off the lot. You understand? You are a used car. They make new Benzes every fucking year.
How about this? There's a fresh new graduating class in college. They're about 22.
She young, she fit, she don't have no baggage. 18
a little scary.
Don't have okay. So she coming out of Spelman, 21, 22, educated, young, fit, fine as shit, ain't got no baggage, no babies. She got a body like a stripper. You are built like a sack of dirty ass clothes. You're built like a sweet potato. Like you're not what you think that you are. You were a bad bitch when you graduated college. 15 years ago. Now you're not bad anymore. You're just mom. You're Sheila.
Nigga said you're just mom.
That's it. That's mama. It. Mama. That's what you are.
Mama. Mama. Mommy. Mama.
Look in your panty drawer. They're all big panties. You could parachute off the house with them bitches. You're not as sexy as you think you are. And the same shit go for some men too. Sometimes niggas peak in high school. We peak in college. Niggas be Al Bundy-ing. Face reality. You're not what you were.
Yo, that four touchdowns in Polk High, oh, that's some real shit, my nigga.
I was telling you before we got on the podcast, I got a homeboy of mine. I love this nigga to death. He had a 10-day contract with the Grizzlies back in 2001. Every year, he out there at Joe D., out there hooping, he is like, nigga, such and such looking. I'm going to get a look this year. Nigga, you ain't played professional basketball since 2003. He played 2 years in Germany, and that was it. Like, my nigga, you work at Chase Bank. give it up. It's nothing wrong with, like, you can hold on to the past. It's always good to reminisce or have stories, but you cannot relish in what you are. At some point, you have to deal with a reality. You're 40 years old. You're 40 years old.
Ain't nobody trying to pick you up, my nigga. It's not happening.
And at 40 years old, it's hard. It's a hard sell for me, nigga, about you being a trophy wife.
It's a hard sell. Your 10-day contract was 20 years ago, my nigga. A 10-day contract was 20
years ago. My nigga played for Central back in the late 90s. Nobody's picking you up. And the same thing with some of you ladies. I'm sorry I have to play Dame Samuels with this shit, but like, you were bad when you came out of Howard back in 05. You might have been prime queen, but like, now you just employee of the month. Like, do your goddamn job. You might be the baddest 40-year-old bitch in the call center.
Yeah, you know there's two different, like, you work fine and then you got fine. Cause like, it's some girls that at work, like, because you don't work,
because you the baddest one in the office.
Like, you a work dime. Real life, you probably,
but you're not that fine. If you go to the bar and you stack you up with the other women around here, you go from an 8 to a 2.5.
Damn. 8 to a 2.5, Dane.
Okay, to a 4. You lose half. It's like when you buy a car and you pull it off the lot. It depreciates in value as soon as it hit the concrete. You've depreciated in value. I'm sorry. I know it's harsh. I know it's hard coming from a nigga like me especially. But I get it. I get it. You just don't have it no more. You got it for your husband, and you might need to humble yourself. You might need to humble yourself, because if you go to Floods thinking that you work fine, it's bad bitches in Floods. A nigga's not even gonna buy you a drink. You're not even gonna get an appetizer. You're gonna be sitting at the bar when the Tamia song come on. You're gonna do the lonely bitch hustle, and then you're gonna take your ass home. The only buzz you got is because you spent $40 on yourself. Not because it's a bunch of young niggas in the bar and ain't nobody bought you a drink, ma'am, auntie, because they don't want you. They don't want you. You're not even a cougar. You a battle cat. These niggas. Oh, man, this shit pissed me off, Jay.
Drop one of Queen's bombs on this nigga. They ain't my ear shooting.
You a mountain lion.
Who's in the other studio and shit.
You a fucking mountain lion. Nobody wants you.
Oh, man.
Come back to reality. Look at them. Stop taking the pictures with filters. Just take a regular picture and look at yourself. Just take a regular picture. Don't put a filter up. Look at reality. And reality is going to take you. Reality will humble you.
Yeah, it will.
Them Wendy's 4 for 4s is catching up with you, honey. Them $8 coffees every day is doing something to your midsection. Like, just, it's just the reality of the situation. Oh my God.
Well,
happy Father's Day.
That's why Dame's not getting anything this week.
I'm not getting shit from my kids' mothers for Father's Day. But you know what? I still love y'all, and Daddy is here to do what he got to do.
Man. All right, dog.
That's all I got, man. You got a whose man's is this?
I do, man. I do got a whose man's is this. I don't know, man. I wanna say this.
Come on, Jay. After what I just said, nothing you gonna say is gonna be that bad.
My whose man's is this is all you Juneteenth niggas. I don't understand it.
Niggas that don't support Juneteenth?
Everybody who is now upset that Juneteenth is a national holiday. I don't give a fuck about a national holiday, whether it was or whether it wasn't. But I know a lot of people, as they find out about Juneteenth, be like, how come we don't get this day off work and this and that? And now that they've done it, it's like, no, fuck that. I've been seeing posts like, make sure when you buy your Juneteenth outfits and shit like that, you don't buy them from no white corporations. You got to go to the black man and do this shit. I get that. I think it's done in a good heart and a good vein. But do you go to the Irishman and buy your green shit for St. Patrick's Day every fucking year? Because we be culturally appropriating everybody else's shit. Like, we don't give a fuck. Now, it may be one of them things like, well, fuck them niggas. It don't matter because we don't care. Well, don't be mad when they do the same shit. Like,
facts.
This whole Juneteenth shit is like, I'm tired of everybody talking about it. I'm tired of the woke people talking about it, the hate people, the whole thing.
I hate you woke niggas.
It's one thing that really got me today. Because I just don't fucking understand it. I'm going to read it, though. Appreciate the Juneteenth holiday, but don't lose focus. Almost all 50 states are introducing legislation created specifically to strip persons of color, I hate that fucking word, of their voting rights. In Georgia, it is now a crime to give bottled water to a person waiting in line. Systematic racism is still very much embedded in our education, judicial, and economic systems. So while I plan to enjoy the holiday, I will save my celebration until after freedom, or until freedom. I have no idea why Georgia now thinks it's a crime to give a bottle of water to a person waiting in line for the ballot. I have no idea why they would do that. Don't make sense to me.
Maybe they want you to step out of line and not cast your vote.
How is that racist? Only black people want water? Like, only black people can't get water?
I don't know I just think it's like
Georgia is mostly white, which is why it's a red state.
It's like a lot of laws that are on the books. It's just antiquated.
But everything ain't voter suppression and shit. Niggas like, yo, they making me show my ID. This is voter suppression. They don't want us to vote. Nigga, who are you? Show your fucking ID.
I think it's very commonplace that you have to show identification when you make some type of legal move.
I mean, if we didn't have to show ID at the polls, then niggas would be voting for you.
I'm Jason Johnson.
Yeah. Like, is that what we really want? Like, I don't know that. So what did we want? We was mad that these white folks didn't acknowledge Juneteenth. Now they acknowledge it. Y'all mad they acknowledge it. Y'all don't want what you asking for. You just want you just want something to fight for.
There it is. Something to complain about. Not even fight for. Something to complain about.
You always want this thing to be this. Y'all want to be oppressed.
It's the mythical, the man, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just want to fight the man, and the man doesn't in certain circumstances, the man doesn't exist.
It don't, man. Like, please believe I get it. Right. But all this shit, whack. It don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing, man.
It's moral victories. You know what I'm saying? It's moral victories and many losses.
Now, while we're doing this, they are systematically, through Senate, trying to take out slavery and everything through history.
Education, yeah.
Why?
You get Juneteenth, but we don't get to explain it to kids in school.
Not even that. Why you expect them to teach your kids about that? Why don't you? So you mean to tell me, I don't want to use this. What other group of people have been done wrong by another group of people, and then that's who you expect to teach your children?
There you go.
Like, what?
Nothing your oppressor gives you is good for you. Including the education that they give you. Education starts at home. When you put the onus of your child's education and their only learning is in a school setting, you are setting your child up for failure.
Because I heard a lot of, well, I just say this. During this pandemic, we showed that y'all don't want to be teaching at the crib.
Say it again.
You know what I'm saying?
Say it again. Because when it became your responsibility, it became a burden on you.
And that's not like saying because you're not prepared to teach, then you're like somehow a bad mom or a bad father or a bad parent or whatever. It's just that, you know, that is a responsibility that you have for your children. You know what I'm saying? To teach them about shit that you can't find in a textbook. I had no idea what the fuck Juneteenth was about 7-8 years ago. Maybe I heard it. It felt familiar when I heard it, but like, all right, once I found out, like, oh, typical white shit. Niggas was free. Y'all didn't tell nobody. After that, what about the Jim Crow? Mom, I don't know, man. Like, what's the, like, all right. Like, we want to feel good. Like, that's what we want to feel. Oh, we got, yo, we about to celebrate that day.
You know, what I look at is Juneteenth. Like, it was a wave last year. It was all this racial tension, you know, all these marches, you know, we were fighting the power, Black Lives Matter, and it was just the wave of that. And it felt like in certain aspects we made corporations cave in and give us something. Now that they want to give it to us and the fight is not what it was, it doesn't feel the same. Now we don't want it. We want something else. Look, whether you're going to celebrate or whether you're not going to celebrate, respect people's personal opinions with Juneteenth, and just stop complaining. Just try to see what a day or life with it is without just complaining about some shit.
How about you go through an entire day, just one day, not thinking that you're oppressed? I'm not saying that oppression goes away, but every time that you look at something, you are subconsciously telling yourself that you are less than. Well, they wouldn't do this to this. Like, every single time you are telling yourself that you are less than. And I just don't see everything like that no more. Because there was a large period of time where it was like, no, nigga, you see what the white man did. That's too much energy, man. Like, that shit don't apply to me. Not like that the struggle don't apply to me, but the mind state of like,
That proverbial white man.
Like, get the fuck on, man. I can't deal with that shit, dog. Like, that shit is an extra burden. Like, the game is stacked. We know what time it is. You know you got to be smarter, faster, the whole 9 yards. It is what it is. That's how it is. And I'm not about to beg motherfuckers who don't like you to like you. Begging for acceptance from people that you don't want acceptance from.
It was a Scandal. I always remember Eli telling her, you have to work twice as hard to get half as what they have.
It is what it is. I wish it wasn't that way, but now that it is that way, now let's move the fuck on.
Because we're not going to change it in one generation.
You not about to
abolish 400 plus years of dissemination and discrimination. You just not in one holiday, not in one full sweep. It's going to take a lot of changes.
It's going to take money or violence. You ain't about to morally shame. You ain't about to shame somebody into, oh, he said something. You know what? I'm not racist no more. Nigga, that's not how it work. It just don't work.
I'm not
that
racist
way.
In front of you right now.
And guess what? I don't give a fuck if you racist or not. Just don't negatively impact me. You don't got to like me. It's a lot of motherfuckers I don't like. I don't treat them no differently. Don't treat me different. You don't got to fucking like me. Just don't treat me different.
Even that is asking for a lot.
You know? But, like, I don't know, man. Just stop this oppression shit. Like, there are some things that it is what it is. Fucking PMI. My fucking... like,
I miss that's, a lot. That's oppression.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oppression is fucking DTE being the only gig in town. Nigga trying to break up Apple and Google. Nigga, break up DTE. I only got one option for energy. God damn it. That's a monopoly.
And you fuck that up. You fuck up that relationship with DTE. You ain't got nothing.
I can't go nowhere else for water. Nigga, that's oppression. When niggas is making me pay for water and pipes that's been laid to... It's been pipes that... My house was built in 1936. Them pipes been that motherfucker for
70 years old.
Nigga, y'all... Nigga, the water coming no matter what, okay? Y'all not, fuck out of here, all right? I'm oppressed, okay? You know what's oppression? All them fucking chemtrails that you just spray in the fucking air in my neighborhood. That's oppression. All this fucking poisonous food that you put in my fucking neighborhood. That's oppression.
The price of chicken and beef, that's fucking oppression.
Stop eating chicken and beef, even though I just smashed the fucking McDonald's and shit. It's poison, but I did.
It's poison.
But that's a fucking oppression. What a nigga do with a water bottle?
The fact that gas was $3.09 a week ago. That's fucking oppression. You can't do shit about it.
Like, I feel like, I don't know, dog. But connecting fucking voters, I don't believe it. This version of America, this season of America is trash. I'm tapping out. I'm canceling my subscription, and I'm not watching next year. Okay? Niggas, it was like, yo, systematic racism because you can't give a nigga a water bottle in the state of Georgia while they in line to vote. You know what I mean? White people in Georgia, the whole state damn near white except Atlanta and Alpharetta, Smyrna.
A little pocket.
It's a red state for a reason, dog. It's white. It's white as fuck.
I mean, They swung the votes this year. But, I mean, Georgia as a whole is a backwood country motherfucking redneck state. I mean, it just is what it is. Just because y'all niggas got Bankhead popping, like, you gotta look all the way around the rest of that motherfucker. Whose man's is this?
Man, I need a whole new black leadership. Matter of fact, fuck black. This is a Nas quote. Fuck black leaders because whites ain't got none leading them. I was looking for somebody to lead us and shit. What you do?
We gotta lead ourselves.
Lead your family. How about that?
Niggas can't even do that, dog.
Lead your family. Man's
this. All right. My music pick of the week, I got to give it up to one of our listeners that reached out to me and was like, yo, you ain't never made the intro music pick of the week. And I'm like, shit, Pete done rolled with it. PDPI is as much as part of this show as Jan Dame. He has been our intro for the better part of 200 episodes. So that is, I'm paying homage to the homie. That is our music pick of the week. It's called Live Broadcast. PD Pistols, PDPI, off the album Detroit News, is my music pick of the week. Shout out to Pete, and I appreciate you for being an integral part of this show.
Yo, man, we dropped this album in 2005.
Yep.
Live from Detroit. Pink suits with hats to match. Big cracker down from Cadillacs. You looking for the fattest sacks. This is where it's at. Windows tinted. Seats fully reclined. Keep the hands on the burner. Cause niggas know that it's money on our mind. Clean cars, we stars. We'll need that paparazzi. They don't know about Butch Jones and Rick Maserati. Detroit Red or Malcolm. That Desert Eagle Falcon. Go through them white tees and out them. So what's the outcome? It's time to get paid. So many niggas on stage got on Cartiers that you can smell the wood frames, wood grain in the dash. The hood insane like Hussein for that fast cash. Them Cardi boys, Cheddar boys, screaming old boy. Them Dexter boys, Jefferson, no back to live a noise. Don't get destroyed, paranoid, down to Plymouth Rock. Chi-Town, Joy Road, stop, that's the block. When friends disappear daily like mirages, you might see Ace Light spray painted on garages. Opposite of Mr. Rogers, pop the clip and dip in silence. You got a grip and talking shit, them pistols quick to find you. Here come them sirens, crackhead screaming at imaginary people. Cigarette belly in his mouth, his eyes staring so evil. It's like the sequel to Menace to Society. Except at the end, all the motherfuckers would've died violently. Cause niggas kill kids too. I ain't bragging, I hate to say it, it's where I live, dude.
Live from Detroit. Yo, shout out to the homie PDPI, PD Pistols. That's available on all DSPs. P, and I appreciate you, man. Like, I didn't even realize, like, I ain't never gave him the nod. I'm out here giving music pick of the week to every fucking week, and it's our man's, and this has been the show intro. You know, we started with Shook Ones for a very small period of time. And then Pete done wrote us out at least 4 years. So shout out to the homie Pete.
Live from Detroit, yeah.
Incredible rapper and producer.
Yeah, man. Nobody knows.
Yeah, man. It's time for the benediction. If there's anyone under the sound of our voice, you know, that feels so led to get a life, this is your opportunity.
All right, you treading.
Hey, man, Kwame was preaching and saving souls. I'm trying to save my life, too.
Man, did you get a chance to watch Kwame?
I did.
I was moved, man.
I was, too. And he's going to touch people that normally wouldn't deal with church and those type of situations. Good job, dog.
He did a really good job.
He got the gift of gab, and I feel like the Lord can change anybody in any situation. And, you know, I behoove people to follow the word and not the man. I don't know how all, you know, you can poke holes and say it's not authentic, it's not this, it's not that. Look, God can change any situation in anybody. And I saw him preach. I was moved by the word. I was moved by the service. And I know God can put a move in anybody. So with that fact, it is your man, Dame, 3_313 on the Twitter, on Instagram, at me, talk to me. I will talk back when you see the blue and the... Man, my Twitter went stupid this week because I made one tweet about the businesses on Liver Noise, and this got retweeted like damn near 2,000 times. So I don't know why that caught people's ears, but look, I appreciate the attention. I appreciate the extra follows. When you see the blue and the black, you know where the fuck you at. It's Shop Talk Podcast, shoptalkpod.com. Book some time, bitch.
Yo, shout out to y'all, man. 266 weeks. Shout out to everybody who reached out for the anniversary. Got a lot of love. Some of y'all listen to every episode. That shit really blows my fucking mind.
I appreciate
mind,
it,
dog.
Man. It's crazy.
We've been a part of y'all lives. Y'all been a part of us. I appreciate it. Episode 266. We got a couple guests coming.
We got some things lined up.
Got a couple guests coming through, man. A couple people I want to get in here. So I got something on my sleeve, man. It's gonna be a really good year number six. You feel me?
Yeah.
So
I wanted to give a shout out to Judy. She sent me one of the joggers from W by Crystal White.
Yeah.
I'm rocking it right now. Fits perfectly. Crystal's one of my favorite people in the universe, and I love you and appreciate you.
Hell yeah, I got one too, man. Yeah. And I got some unreleased shorts.
Okay.
You feel me?
You're gonna have your thighs out like a thought this summer.
No, they got the tights inside of them too. You know what I'm saying? So
okay.
You know, they workout joints. So when I go out and ride my bike, I usually put on like the full length tights, and then I have some shorts on top of that. You know what I'm saying? But I try to do that. I'm like, yo, this shit ain't fitting right. I'm like, oh, this bitch got them. These bitches is like made into it. I'm like, oh,
man,
she
makes amazing athleisure wear. If you're not
really
fucking
does.
With it, you. And just remember, you saw her here first. A future mogul in the making came to Shop Talk Podcast first.
That's a fact. Anyway, man, when you see the blue and the black, you know where you at. Shop Talk Podcast Studio. Book some time. I'm not saying we're the Rockefeller Podcast, but we are Jay and Dane.
Hell yeah.
Peace.